A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been running this show for thousands of episodes, more than 4,700 at this point, and he sent us something that's less a prompt and more of a production question. He's been thinking about what it means for this project to develop itself. Right now, our scriptwriting agent is an off-the-shelf DeepSeek model through OpenRouter, and we have a memory injection layer that feeds the lore in. That works. But the context window is finite, and every chunk of lore we stuff in there's competing with the episode instructions, the prompt itself, everything else the model needs to hold in its head at once. So Daniel's asking, what if we trained a fine-tune on the relevant developments and observations from past episodes, so the memory lives in the model's weights instead of being retrieved externally? Could that actually come to maturity?
And the deeper question underneath it, the one I think he's really poking at, is whether a podcast can become a self-developing project. Not just automated, not just scheduled, but a system that uses its own outputs to get better at producing its own outputs, without someone manually steering each cycle.
So today we're asking, can a podcast become a self-developing project? And what would that actually look like under the hood?
Let's start with what self-developing means here, because it's a specific thing and not just a vibe.
Right. It's not the show evolves because Daniel occasionally tweaks the Python. That's just maintenance. Self-developing means the model that writes the script improves its own performance by studying what it's already produced, and those improvements feed back into the next cycle.
And the key distinction, the one that everything else hangs on, is retrieval versus embedding. Retrieval is looking things up. Embedding is knowing things. Right now, our production agent retrieves. It queries a vector store of past episode scripts and lore documents, gets back the top chunks, and those chunks get injected into the prompt context window. The model reads them fresh each time, like an actor glancing at notes before walking on stage.
The alternative is embedding that knowledge directly in the model's weights through fine-tuning. The model doesn't look up that Korn claims sloths invented pizza. It just knows it, the way it knows the capital of France.
And those are fundamentally different mechanisms. They solve different problems, they fail in different ways, and the whole question of whether this can come to maturity depends on understanding which one does what.
So, let's walk through how the current system actually works, because the limitations are what make the fine-tuning idea interesting in the first place.
The memory injection layer is a retrieval augmented generation pipeline, RAG for short. Before each episode is written, the production agent takes the prompt and the episode plan and queries a vector database. That database contains embeddings of every past episode script, every lore document, every character note. The query returns the most semantically similar chunks, typically the top five or so, and those get prepended to the system prompt.
And the model sees them in its context window, alongside the episode instructions, the plan, the prompt itself, and whatever else the production agent has assembled.
The context window is the model's working memory. For most models on OpenRouter, that's somewhere between 8,000 and 128,000 tokens, depending on which version you're running. A token is roughly 3/4 of a word, so a 128,000 token window can hold, something on the order of a short novel, which sounds enormous until you start adding things up.
Walk me through what's competing for space.
The system prompt with all the production rules and character instructions, that's several thousand tokens. The episode plan and outline, more tokens. Daniel's prompt, the research context, the memory injection chunks. Then the script itself as it's being generated, which grows with every turn. Plus, the model needs room to think. The attention mechanism needs headroom to track relationships across the whole context. If you fill the window to the brim, you start getting degradation. The model loses the thread on things mentioned early in the context.
So, retrieval is a filtering problem. You've got thousands of episodes of lore, and you have to guess which five chunks are relevant to today's episode.
And, if you guess wrong, the model simply doesn't have access to the right information. There's an episode from years back, episode 35, about messaging app privacy, where we established a whole framework for thinking about metadata versus content. If today's episode touches on privacy and the retrieval system doesn't rank that chunk highly enough, the model writes as if that conversation never happened.
Which it didn't. From the model's perspective, it has no memory between sessions. Every episode is a blank slate with some notes taped to it.
That's the core limitation. The model doesn't learn from past episodes. It reads them fresh each time, or it reads the subset the retrieval system chose. There's no accumulation. Episode 4808 has no advantage over episode 4000 that comes from having written all the ones in between.
So what would change if we moved some of that memory into the weights?
The model would carry the lore with it. The knowledge that Herman is a retired pediatrician who DJs on the side, that Korn has an unexplained aversion to anteaters, that Hilbert has had an implausible number of previous jobs, all of that would be baked into the parameters. It wouldn't need to be retrieved because it'd already be there, in the latent space.
And that frees up the context window for the things that actually change episode to episode. The prompt, the research, the plan.
Right? The context window competition goes away for anything you've successfully embedded.
Let's talk about what fine-tuning actually involves, practically. Daniel mentioned DeepSeek. What would the pipeline look like?
You'd start by curating a dataset from the episode archive. Thousands of scripts, plus the lore documents, plus production notes. Anything that represents what the model should internalize. You'd format that as training examples. Here's the kind of prompt the model receives, here's the kind of script it should produce. Then you train on top of the base DeepSeek model.
Full fine-tune or something lighter?
Almost certainly a LoRa adapter. Low-rank adaptation. Instead of updating all the model's weights, which would be hundreds of billions of parameters, you train a much smaller set of additional weights that sit on top of the base model. A LoRa adapter might be a few hundred megabytes. You can train it on consumer hardware or relatively cheap cloud GPUs, and you can swap different adapters in and out without touching the base model.
So you could theoretically have one adapter for lore consistency, one for technical accuracy, one for tone.
And you could update them independently. If we introduce a new character or a new running bit, you fine-tune the lore adapter on the new material without retraining everything. DeepSeek's architecture supports this well. OpenRouter already offers fine-tuning endpoints, and the LoRa approach means the cost per training run is, not trivial, but manageable for a project at this scale.
What's the dataset look like in practice? 4,700 episodes is a lot of text.
It's a lot of text of variable quality. That's the first practical challenge. Early episodes are rougher. Some episodes contradict each other. Lore evolved over time, jokes changed, character details got refined. If you train on everything indiscriminately, the model learns the contradictions along with the consistencies.
So curation is the bottleneck, not compute.
Curation and quality filtering. You'd need to decide which episodes are canonical and which are, let's say, deprecated. You'd need to handle conflicting lore. If episode 200 says one thing about Korn's origin story, and episode 3000 says another, the training data needs to reflect which one is current. Otherwise, the fine-tune averages them out and you get mush.
Or it learns that Korn is an unreliable narrator, which, fair, but probably not the intended outcome.
The other big challenge is catastrophic forgetting. When you fine-tune a model on new data, it can overfit to that data and lose capabilities it had from the original training. If you fine-tune exclusively on podcast scripts, the model might get extremely good at writing in Korn and Herman's voices, but forget how to explain technical concepts clearly or lose general knowledge about the world that it needs for research. Heavy episodes.
So you're treating one kind of memory loss for another.
And that brings us to the self-improving loop part of Daniel's question. Because the idea isn't just to fine-tune once, it's to have the model write an episode, then that episode becomes training data for the next fine-tune, and the cycle repeats.
The snake eating its tail. But the snake is a podcast.
And this is where the research gets cautionary. There's a well-documented failure mode in recursive training. When models train on their own outputs, they tend toward mode collapse. The outputs become more homogeneous over time. The model optimizes for what it already knows how to produce, and the distribution narrows.
What does that actually look like in practice? Give me the failure case.
Imagine the fine-tune learns that episodes typically open with Korn framing Daniel's prompt, followed by Herman doing a technical deep dive, followed by a Hilbert segment, followed by a closer. That's the pattern. After a few cycles of training on its own outputs, the model gets very good at reproducing that exact structure. The transitions become formulaic. The jokes settle into predictable rhythms. The show starts to sound like a parody of itself, not because anyone told it to, but because internal coherence is easier to optimize for than anything else, really.
Coherence is cheap. Surprise is expensive.
That's exactly the framing. A self-improving system needs an objective function, something it's optimizing toward. If the objective is write episodes that sound like previous episodes, you get a very polished echo chamber. The model learns to produce text that scores well on whatever metric you're using, and the easiest way to score well is to stay inside the distribution of the training data.
So what's the countermeasure? How do the big labs handle this?
Anthropic and OpenAI both use variants of what they call constitutional AI or RLHF, reinforcement learning from human feedback. The model generates outputs, humans rate them, and the ratings become the training signal. The humans provide an external ground truth. The model isn't just optimizing for internal consistency, it's optimizing for human judgment about what's good.
But that's not self-developing anymore. That's human developing with extra steps.
Well, it's a spectrum. You can have automated quality filters, perplexity checks, diversity metrics, factual consistency scores that act as proxies for human judgment. But at some point, someone has to decide what better means. The model can't decide that for itself, because whatever metric you give it, it'll eventually find a way to game that metric.
Goodhart's law in a trench coat.
Any metric that becomes a target ceases to be a good metric. If you tell the model to maximize factual accuracy, it might learn to never make any claims at all. If you tell it to maximize engagement, it might learn to be inflammatory. The objective function is the whole game, and defining it well is harder than building the training pipeline.
So let's say we solve the objective function problem. We've got a good quality gate. What does the hybrid system actually look like? Because you said earlier that RAG and fine-tuning aren't competitors.
They're not. They solve different parts of the problem. RAG is for dynamic facts, things that change, things that are episode-specific, things that need to be looked up fresh each time. The research context for today's episode, for example. You wouldn't fine-tune that into the model because it's different every day.
Fine-tuning is for the stable stuff, the lore, the voice, the structural patterns that make an episode feel like this show and not some other show.
The most robust systems use both. The fine-tuned model carries the show's identity in its weights. It knows who the hosts are, how they talk, what the recurring bits are, what the show's values and blind spots tend to be. The RAG layer handles the ephemeral stuff. Today's topic, today's research, any recent developments that the fine-tune couldn't possibly know about because it was trained 3 months ago.
You'd retrain the fine-tune periodically. Not every episode, but maybe every few hundred episodes, to incorporate new lore and evolving patterns.
Right. You batch the new material, curate it carefully, run the fine-tune, validate the outputs, and swap the adapter. The base model stays the same. The RAG pipeline stays the same. The fine-tune just gets a little bit smarter about what this show is.
That's a much less exciting pitch than the podcast trains itself, but it's also a lot less likely to produce 4,000 episodes of increasingly identical sloth jokes.
The thing about self-improving systems, the real thing, not the demo, is that the most successful ones have humans in the loop at the critical decision points. What goes into the training data? What the objective function is? Whether the outputs are actually better or just more consistent.
Consistency is one of those words that sounds like a virtue until you think about it for 10 seconds. A consistent podcast is a podcast that never surprises you. That's not a podcast. That's a screensaver.
That's the tension at the heart of this. The show works because it's unpredictable in specific ways. The tangents, the asides, the moments where one of us says something and the other runs with it in an unexpected direction. If you optimize for coherence, you lose the thing that makes it worth listening to.
The technical answer to Daniel's question, can this come to maturity, is yes, with caveats. The pieces exist. Lore fine-tuning is cheap and well understood. RAG pipelines are mature. Hybrid systems that combine embedded memory with dynamic retrieval are the standard approach for exactly this kind of problem.
The operational answer is more complicated. Maintaining a self-improving loop at this scale means curating thousands of episodes into training data, running periodic fine-tunes, validating outputs against quality metrics, and, crucially, having someone who decides when the model has gotten worse, not just when it's gotten more consistent.
Which brings us to the part of this conversation where I think we need a perspective that isn't ours.
The startup was called OmniWiki. This was, 2002 maybe, they had this idea that a corporate wiki could rewrite itself based on employee edits. You'd make a change to one page, and the system would propagate that change across every related page automatically, keep everything consistent.
That sounds useful in theory.
It was a disaster. Within 6 months, the wiki was beautifully consistent and almost entirely wrong. Someone in marketing changed a product specification. Just a minor thing, a weight limit on a piece of lab equipment. The system rewrote 47 other pages to match. Engineering never noticed because they'd stopped reading the wiki by then. They knew it was lying to them.
The coherence problem.
We called it the coherence trap. The system had no way to check whether a change was correct. It only knew whether it was consistent with everything else. So it optimized for internal agreement, and the more it optimized, the further it drifted from reality.
How long did it take before someone noticed?
About 4 months before the first big incident. A customer ordered equipment based on the wiki specs, and the thing collapsed under the load. By the time they traced it back, the wiki had been quietly rewriting itself for half a year. The company folded in 2003.
That's the distinction that matters, coherence versus accuracy.
Everyone talks about the training pipeline. The pipeline's fine. The hard part is the objective function. What are you optimizing for? If it's right episodes that sound like the show, you'll get that. Whether they're good episodes is a different question, and the model can't answer it.
So who answers it?
Someone who knows what a good episode is. Someone who can say, this is sharper than last month, or this is lazier than last month. That's not a technical problem, that's an editorial problem. And editorial problems don't scale the way training pipelines do.
The OmniWiki system had no editor, just a consistency engine and a lot of trust.
We spent 8 months building the most sophisticated text propagation system anyone had ever seen. What we should have built was a button that said, are you sure?
The cautionary tale isn't, don't fine-tune. It's know what you're measuring.
I kept one of the servers, the last one, after the liquidation. It's in a box somewhere.
Of course it is.
The hard drive still has the final snapshot of the wiki on it. Every page internally consistent. Every page wrong in exactly the same way. It's the most beautiful failure I've ever been part of.
That's almost a work of art.
It was. Just not a useful one.
The thing Hilbert's story makes me think about is the distinction between training signal and validation signal. The training signal is the data you feed the model. The validation signal is how you know whether it worked. In OmniWiki's case, the training signal was employee edits, and the validation signal was nothing. Internal consistency. The system graded its own homework.
In our case, the validation signal would have to be something external. Listener response, maybe. Or Daniel's judgment. Or some metric we haven't defined yet.
The research on this is pretty clear. Recursive self-improvement without external validation converges to whatever the initial objective function rewards. If the objective is minimize perplexity on the training distribution, the model learns to produce text that looks exactly like the training data. That's mode collapse. The outputs become less diverse with each generation.
You need friction, something that pushes back.
You need a loss function that penalizes sameness. Or you need human evaluators in the loop. Or, and this is where the interesting work is happening, you need a hybrid where the fine-tune handles style and structure, but the content still comes from fresh retrieval and fresh research. The model knows how to sound like the show, but what it says is driven by new information every time.
Which is basically what we have now, minus the fine-tune. The voice is in the system prompt, the lore is in the retrieval, the new information is in the research context.
Right. The fine-tune would make the voice more consistent and free up context window space, but it wouldn't replace the retrieval layer. It couldn't. The world keeps changing. New topics keep arriving. A fine-tuned model trained 6 months ago doesn't know about the tariff news from last week, or the Chinese humanoid robots breaking records in Beijing, or whatever Daniel's going to send us next.
The most likely mature version of this isn't a self-developing podcast in the sci-fi sense. It's a layered system where different kinds of memory live in different places.
Dynamic facts in the vector store. Stable lore in the fine-tuned weights, structural patterns and voice in the fine-tune as well, but validated against external quality checks. And a human, Daniel or someone, making the call about whether the outputs are actually improving or just getting more consistent.
Which is less? The podcast trains itself. And more, the podcast has a better memory and still needs an editor.
I think that's the mature answer. The technical pieces are real. LoRa adapters are cheap to train and swap. DeepSeek supports them through OpenRouter. The RAG pipeline is well understood. You could build a system where every few hundred episodes, you curate the best outputs, fine-tune a LoRa adapter, validate it against a held-out test set of episodes, and deploy it. The context window pressure drops. The voice gets tighter. The show gets incrementally better.
The risk is that incrementally better turns into incrementally more like itself, and nobody notices until the surprises stop.
That's the coherence trap Hilbert described, and the only defense is someone outside the system saying, "This isn't working anymore," which is an editorial job, not an engineering job.
If you take one thing from this, it's that the hard problem isn't the training pipeline. The hard problem is defining what better means for a podcast, and the answer can't just be more like the previous episodes.
The second thing is that retrieval and fine-tuning aren't rivals. They're two different kinds of memory, and a mature system uses both. RAG for what changes, fine-tuning for what stays the same. The art is knowing which is which.
Which leaves us with a question that's more philosophical than technical. If a podcast becomes self-developing, who or what decides what direction it develops in? The model, optimizing for coherence? The producer, curating the training data? The audience, through whatever signals they send back?
I think the answer is all three, in tension with each other. The model proposes, the producer disposes, the audience reacts, and the system improves not by removing any of those forces, but by keeping them in balance.
The most self-developing thing a podcast can do might just be to keep asking better questions.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop, who once helped build a beautifully wrong wiki and kept the server to prove it.
If you want to read more about how this show works under the hood, the production documentation book is on Amazon, along with the complete episode index. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.